Self-confidence can be a good thing. When you're an athlete and you've been training for the big day, it's good to encourage one another, saying, "You've got this." Or perhaps you're going to a job interview. You're qualified and your resume shows it. This is a good time to express some self-confidence. And who wants a doctor, like a heart surgeon, who lacks self-confidence? We want him to be really confident in his abilities as he does his surgery. There is one place, however, where self-confidence is actually disastrous, and that's in the gospel. Take a moment to read Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, and we'll talk about it. Our flesh, or sinful nature, can show up one of two ways. It can show up in an utter abandonment to scandalous immorality, but it can also show up in a morality, a self-generated pretty goodness that has a tendency to elevate oneself above others. That's what judgmentalism is. Making judgments is a good thing. We make judgments every day, calling something good or bad or right or wrong. Nothing wrong with that. Judgmentalism is a problem. In that, unlike the pagans, the judgmentalist doesn't worship another god, but makes themselves god. They falsely position themselves as a righteous judge over others, forgetting that all the while they're essentially guilty of the same thing for which they condemn others. The moralist is essentially full of self-confidence. After all, in their own assessment, they are living a pretty good life. Why would there be any problem between them and God? Their worship disorder may not be as apparent as the immoral pagan who lives godless life, but at the end of the day, their lives are filled with just as much greed and evil and envy and deceit as the pagan. They're just much better at hiding it. Jesus reminds us that God's judgment is based not on appearances, but on reality. When he reminds us that sin is an attitude or a disposition, and that evil desires are just as sinful as evil actions. Lust in the heart is on the same level as adultery, and hatred, murder. The moralist foolishly thinks they could win their day in court, arguing their case before a holy God as one who deserves his blessing and his favor, entrance into his eternal kingdom. The moralist welcomes judgment based on their moral record. They look at it like a tax that they've paid and they're up to date. But an audit is coming. In this section, Paul is talking about the basis for God's judgment, which is works. He is not talking about the basis for God's salvation, which is God's grace through faith in Christ alone. In principle, God rewards true obedience with eternal life, but in practice, no one has earned it. Just a chapter ahead in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, "For no one will be justified in his sight by works of the law." That word "no one" in its original language means just that, no one. Justification, or acceptance before God based on moral achievement, is not possible because we're all sinners. Now, if somebody wants their day in court to argue their case before a holy God, they will most certainly get that opportunity. But remember, God's judgment is based on reality, not appearances. And if the basis for God's judgment is our works, our moral achievement, none of us will have anything to say. The basis or the principles for God's judgment is different than the basis or the principles for his salvation. And the principle for salvation gives us the opportunity to settle out of court, so to speak, which is very good news, especially if you're paying attention to your conscience at all. You don't have to have a religious upbringing to know that you're accountable to God. Creation itself declares that God is, and He is powerful. And He has placed within us a conscience, in other words, an awareness there is one to whom we must give account. There is an awareness of God's moral law within each one of us. That's why even irreligious people have a certain degree of morality and civility. That's also why we spend so much time excusing or defending our actions, actions that we call other people out on. We cannot appreciate who Christ is, we cannot appreciate the gospel, unless we first acknowledge who we are. And who we are those who need God's grace just as much as everybody else. As one author says, if sin were the color blue, everything that we say, think, do, attitudes, actions, and behaviors would be tainted the color blue. There's absolutely no room for judgmentalism in the gospel. No room to be unnecessarily impressed with ourselves. And no room whatsoever for self-confidence. Faith is the abandonment of self-confidence. It is the turning from trust in ourselves to trust in the person of Jesus as one who is willing and able to remove our sin's guilt. Growing in grace, or growing in relationship to the gospel, is seen in becoming less and less impressed with ourselves and more impressed with God's grace, His generosity, and His kindness. Evidence that we are growing in grace with that in mind is really simple. It comes down to judgmentalism, or our attitude with those who irritate us. A judgmental person will think of themselves as fundamentally better than those who irritate them. Whereas a person who understands the gospel, a person who is growing in grace, will see the sins of others in themselves.